Now, we're all familiar with the American Lung Association slogan, "Thank you for not smoking." It's been written on innumerable signs and buttons. But what about thanking someone for smoking? Imagine, say, Philip Morris, putting out an ad campaign thanking their customers for lighting up. Honest, but unimaginable. Unless, of course, you're a Hollywood movie director. Jason Reitman's the writer and director of the film Thank You for Smoking, and Strange Chimps asked Reitman about his film.
Thank You for Smoking follows Nick Naylor, who's the head lobbyist for Big Tobacco, as he moves across the country, spinning on behalf of cigarettes, and at the same time, trying to be a role model for his 12-year-old son.
That's quite a job.
Yes, indeed.
So this guy, Nick Naylor, the chief spokesperson for the cigarette lobby, he basically has no morals he wouldn't sell. He's comfortable calling himself a merchant of death, and at the same time, he is impossible not to like. He's the heart of the movie. How did you do that as a filmmaker, make a guy who does horrible things into the good guy?
Well, you know, first of all, this is a movie that was based on a fantastic book by Christopher Buckley, and he's really the genius behind why this book works, why this movie works. What I think it is that Nick speaks out against political correctness. Nick believes in ideas like personal responsibility and personal choice. And I think these are all things that we can wrap our head around even when we're talking about cigarettes.
Few people on this planet know what it is to be truly despised. Can you blame them? I earn a living fronting an organization that kills 1,200 human beings a day. 1,200 people. We're talking two jumbo jet plane loads of men, women, and children. I mean, there's Attila, Genghis, and me, Nick Naylor, the face of cigarettes, the Colonel Sanders of nicotine.
Now, Nick Naylor isn't alone. In the film, he has weekly lunches with his only two friends, who are the gun lobbyist and the alcohol lobbyist. And the three of them together call themselves the Mod Squad, that is, Merchants of Death.
Yes, he's the head lobbyist for Big Alcohol, Big Guns, and Big Tobacco. They would have these kind of wonderfully, well, I'm going to say politically incorrect conversations.
Did you see the coverage of the fetal alcohol people got themselves over this weekend? They made it seem like we were encouraging pregnant women to drink. I'm surprised I didn't get kidnapped on my way to work this morning.
I don't think people from the alcoholic beverage industry need to worry about being kidnapped just yet.
Pardon me?
Look, I mean, nothing personal, but tobacco generates a little more heat than alcohol.
Oh, this is news.
Well, my product puts away 475,000 a year.
Oh, okay, now 475 is a legit number.
Okay, 435,000, that's 1,200 a day. How many alcohol-related deaths a year?
Well,
100,000 tops? Well, that's what, 270 a day? Wowee. Hey. 270 people, the tragedy. Excuse me if I don't exactly see terrorists getting excited about kidnapping anyone from the alcohol industry.
Well, you haven't even taken into account the number of deaths
a year. Bobby, how many gun deaths a year in the U.S.?
11,000?
11,000. Are you kidding me? 30 a day? It's less than passenger car mortalities. No terrorists would bother with either of you.
There's a story I've heard you tell that you wanted to make this movie from really the very first moment you read the first sentence in Christopher Buckley's book. What was it about it that grabbed you so?
It was just so rough and so funny. You know, the opening line, and I'm going to butcher it now because I don't know it verbatim, but it basically was, Nick Naylor, the head lobbyist for Big Tobacco, had been called many things since starting his job, but until now, no one had actually referred to him as Satan. And I couldn't imagine a better hero for a book.
Why? Just the pleasure of the inverted morality?
Well, you're just so used to, you know, movies and books with heroes who are doing, you know,
the right thing?
Not the right thing, just the, I don't know, the, yeah, I guess so. The right thing. The right thing frustrates me. You're right. I'm bored by the right thing.
Defending the defenseless. Protecting the disenfranchised corporations that have been abandoned by their very own consumers. The logger. The sweatshop foreman. The oil driller. The landmine developer. The baby seal poacher.
Baby seal poacher?
Even I think that's kind of cruel.
Do you have favorite scenes in the movie?
Well, you know, Nick is given a briefcase of cash and told to go silence this Marlboro man who is now dying of lung cancer. And he arrives at the Marlboro man's house, and who's played by Sam Elliott, who immediately pulls out a rifle and threatens his life. Nick basically gets the Marlboro Man to come around and take the money. And when you're reading the scene in the book, or you're watching the scene in the movie, you're really not sure what Nick is doing. For a moment, it looks as if Nick is coming around. He's having a change of heart. He's actually telling the Marlboro Man to take the money, bring it onto television, and denounce Big Tobacco. But in reality, he's just being very subversive and using this technique to get the Marlboro Man to actually keep the money.
My dignity ain't for sale.
It's not an offer. It's a gift. Taxes have all been paid. You get to keep it no matter what you do. The idea is that somehow your guilt will prevent you from badmouthing us.
Are you supposed to be telling me all that?
No, sir. Just apologize, give you the money, and leave.
Why are you telling me this?
Because this way you'll take the money.
Why would I do that?
Because you're mad.
Damn straight I am.
The first thing you'll do is you call the LA Times and CNN and insist on Bonnie Carlton. She does really good controlled outrage. Tell them no Bonnie, no story. Watch it on MSNBC.
Okay.
When they get here, you open up the case and you pour all the cash out onto the floor.
Why?
Trust me, it'll look more effective that way. Don't forget to shake every last bundle out. If you can, you know, give a cough or two. Once it's all out on the floor, tell them what you're gonna do with it.
What am I gonna do with it?
You're gonna donate it. Yeah, start the Lauren Lutz Cancer Foundation. You're gonna have a ranch and a fair and a 5K. 5K is a must. The television.
Wait a minute. What about my family?
Lauren, you can't keep the money.
Why the hell not?
What, I mean, denounce us and then keep the blood money? I mean, look at it.
Don't I remember that you and Sam Elliott, the actor, kind of went back and forth over whether or not the Marlboro Man should take the money?
He called me up and said he wanted to talk about the film. So we went out for lunch, and we sat there for about 3 hours and discussed the role, and he didn't want to take the money. He, at the time, said, you know, can't I, in his wonderful way, you know, just throw the money back in his face and tell him to screw off. He told me that he had made a career out of playing these noble roles, these noble cowboys, and there was something that his fans and his audience expected from him, and he didn't want to break from that. And I said, well, those characters are exactly that. They are characters. This guy's a human being. He's vulnerable. He's real. And he has to take the money, and that's what makes him interesting. That's why you should take the part.
One of my favorite scenes in the movie is the scene when Nick is talking to Rob Lowe's character. He's a Hollywood insider, and Nick's been sent to try to get cigarette placement in the films, and they've come up with a really sort of unbelievable way of doing it. But I'm wondering, how realistic is that scene? I mean, you've spent a lot of time in Hollywood.
Well, look, I mean, the movie's a satire, so everything's going to be slightly heightened. I mean, are you asking me if there are, arrogant, self-serving people in Hollywood? Well, there's a few. Do they wear kimonos? Perhaps that was a bit much.
Brad Pitt, Catherine Zeta-Jones, they've just finished ravishing each other's bodies for the first time. They lie naked, suspended in air underneath the heavens. Pitt lights up. He starts blowing smoke rings all around Catherine's naked, flawless body as the galaxies go whizzing by over the glass-domed ceiling. Now, tell me that doesn't work for you.
I'd see that movie.
You know, you guys ought to think about designing a cigarette to be released simultaneously with the movie.
Is there any product placement in your film?
No, you know, sorry, that's wrong. There was. Mont Blanc provided Nick's pens and watches and wallets and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if that will have some sort of subversive effect on people. They find themselves buying snow-capped pens because they went to see Thank You for Smoking.
And you've caved into the Mont Blanc lobby.
Yeah, exactly. They're very strong.
Do you think the film that you made has a hidden spin of its own? I mean, I was thinking, you could kind of call this a libertarian film, couldn't you? Because the one moral message from it has to do with, well, sort of an anti-regulatory message, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think Christopher Buckley's fairly libertarian. I'm fairly libertarian, you know, particularly as Canadians go. And it's actually funny. I recently got an email from a guy who was running for governor in Arizona on the Libertarian ticket asking for my endorsement, and that was an unusual moment in my life. But I don't think that's a hidden agenda. You know, the greatest compliment the book ever got, and I think the movie gets this every once in a while too, is that liberals think it's theirs and conservatives think it's theirs. You know, Christopher Buckley said to me once that, you know, if a satire really works, it's a mirror. You look in it and you see yourself.
I was going to ask you whether you think this is a pro or an anti-smoking movie.
It's neither. You know, we don't even show cigarettes in the entire movie purely for that reason. I didn't want anyone to think that we were heroizing cigarettes or vilifying cigarettes. For me, that's besides the point. This is a movie that could have taken place in the world of alcohol, guns, religion, abortion. There's plenty of things that people get heated about. Whether people want to smoke or not is up to them.
What about the children?
Gentlemen, it's called education. It doesn't come off the side of a cigarette carton. It comes from our teachers and, more importantly, our parents. It is the job of every parent to warn their children of all the dangers of the world, including cigarettes, so that one day when they get older, they can choose for themselves. I look at my son, who was kind enough to come with me today, and I can't help but think that I am responsible for his growth and his development, and I'm proud of that.
Well, having said that, would you condone him smoking?
Well, of course not. He's not 18. That would be illegal.
Yes, I heard you deliver that line on 2020, but enough dancing. What are you going to do when he turns 18?
Come on, Mr. Naylor. What are you going to do when he turns 18?
If he really wants a cigarette, I'll buy him his first pack.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Naylor. You're excused.
Have you heard anything about what Big Tobacco thinks of the film?
Not really. There was a New York Times piece in which someone from Philip Morris said the movie was humorous but inaccurate. I thought that was nice. I would have put that on the poster.
Jason, I have to ask, do you smoke yourself?
No, I don't smoke. I don't really understand smoking. I don't get it.
I'm sorry. That's maybe the funniest thing you said after the whole interview.
Okay. I tried when I was 15 and it hurt too much. And I just never.
Jason Reitman is the writer and director of the film Thank You for Smoking. And Strange Hemp spoke with him.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death.
Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette.